Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. Jump in Tucson is a unique format with different hosts on different days, Monday through Friday at 9 to 10 a.m. On Mondays, we host Wonder, the good things happening at the University of Arizona. Wednesdays, Grant Kruger is in. Tuesdays, Ted Maxwell, I don't know why I did that in reverse. Thursdays, Tom Moulton and Visit Tucson and the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And then on Fridays, we do success stories, business success stories and organizations. And you know, when we talk about business and we talk about individual taxpayers, but we talk about business, one thing we talk about is my nephew, who is Chris Ackerley. He is the Pima County Treasurer. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for taking that 10:30 p.m. call saying, hey, what are you doing in the morning? I need a guest at 9 o'clock. Can you come and do that?
Not a problem.
I'm teasing, but it's a little bit true. You know, you're running for something which is really important, Pima County Treasurer. And but guess what? You are Pima County Treasurer.
I am.
Yeah, so you
appointed 2 months ago, a little over 2 months ago, to the position. Beth Ford retired after 24 years. I had lunch with her the other day. She is loving retirement. but the job of the office goes on. It's one of those positions that's unexciting.
Right.
But it is exciting. I mean, I'm a nerd, so I geek out on it. Yeah. But the reality is it's a position where your whole job is to stay out of the newspaper.
Right.
Because if the treasurer's office is in the newspaper, not good things have happened. And
right.
Beth kept herself out of the newspaper for 24 years, and I intend to do the same.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite as long, but keep it out of the newspaper.
Yeah, it is funny. Yesterday when we were talking, you know, you were supposed to get out of there at noon. You had some campaign stuff that you were going to do at noon, and at 6:30 you called me and said, I'm just leaving the office now. So you spent a good 10 or 12 hours yesterday in the office on a day that you were supposed to.
So it is a full-time job.
Yeah.
It is absolutely a full-time job. It is not ribbon cutting and rubber chicken dinners.
Right.
It is an administrative post, and it is incredibly significant one, and that's going to be the challenge in this election. Mm-hmm. is to get the message out in the political noise of all the national and politics, is to say Pima County really needs somebody who's experienced in the job,
right,
to do it. The position doesn't set public policy. We don't get to set the agenda for the county or approve their budgets or, set tax rates. That's all done by other elected positions. Our job is to basically make the county function. We manage $2 billion in deposits. And we facilitate about $200 million in transactions every week. And we need to do that without incidents and without excitement.
Right. Yesterday, I'm not sure I can divulge exactly what you were working on, because you were kind of working on it. But we were having that conversation about how you were quietly fixing something that needed to be fixed.
It's what the job is.
Yeah.
is to fix the issues behind the scenes, so nobody ever knows.
Right. And like you say, you just have to plow through it and make it happen.
Yes.
The transactions just have to be as flawless as they can be.
Yes.
So that nobody makes their name to the headlines of the, here's what happened in the Pima County Treasurer's office today.
Yes.
I thought it was interesting that we were talking, just a silly little aside, you know, I'm a professor at the University of Arizona, and we have a P-card system down there. You and I were talking about the Pima County Treasurer's office and how you only have a P-card that you use for office supplies, that you don't use the P-card for incidental expenses. I said, you know, so you don't buy your team pizzas on Friday or whatever? Nope. We don't use the P card for that. And
nope, that does not come out of the office. Now, we do occasionally have some festivities in the office, but that money doesn't come out of the
treasury.
Doesn't come out of the treasury.
And that's a good thing, because that just once that gets started, that's not a good thing for any municipality.
To put it in context, our budget is the smallest of any of the county departments and offices.
Mm-hmm.
So our entire budget is between $2.5 and $3 million. Right. And we earn more than that on the interest on the county's money every month. So in a sense, we're the only department that
makes money.
Actually pays for ourselves.
You're an enterprise. You're an enterprise zone. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I was asking some questions about how the whole system works and how you operate. And you're basically a credit union for the...
We are essentially a credit union for all the political jurisdictions in the county.
Right, including fire districts.
Including fire districts, the school districts. In fact, over half of the money that we actually manage is collectively the 17 different school districts in Pima County.
Right. And at the same time, you have to push a button every couple of weeks and make payroll for the county. So that's another responsibility that's important for you. So
the big, huge, the sort of things that, you know, will make the papers is we do payroll. Alternating weeks, 1 week it's the county payroll, second week it's school's payroll. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is we're responsible for all the payments on all the debt service for all of the bonds that are held by all of the different jurisdictions in Pima County.
That's what you were working on yesterday.
And that's what I was working on yesterday.
You said, you got to get out of here because I got to push these buttons so that we make sure we cover the debt service on all the Pima County. That's an interesting, it's a very interesting job that you have, and it's
It is a fun job. It is problem solving. Mm-hmm. And you know, I am not my previous profession was not accountant. Right. I was a high school math and physics teacher. But what I do now is basically solve math problems.
Right.
So it is it's not directly related. It is a lot of fun.
It was interesting, the little flow chart you had up on the TV the other day when we came in to visit you, and you were had just finished that huge flow chart of how to get the money from one side of the house to the other side of the house.
So we're undergoing a massive process in the county. They are changing their financial software countywide. And at the same time, the school superintendent's office, which handles the money for all the school districts, with the exception of three that are actually outside that deal directly with us. But nonetheless, they're both changing their financial software systems. And it has been an arduous process. And it continues, and it takes a lot of involvement. The challenge for the next treasurer, which is going to be me, but, the challenge for the next treasurer is our own software system internally needs to be either revamped or replaced. So that process is just going to turn around once we get the county settled, and once we get the school district settled, it's going to turn around, and we're going to have to do it within our own office. So it's a
three different upgrades,
major undertaking.
Yeah, great. We're with Chris Ackerley, the Pima County Treasurer. When we come back after the break, we'll talk to him about his run for the office and the election coming up in November. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news talk station. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. We're talking with Chris Ackerley. Yes, he is related. He is my nephew. He is the oldest grandchild of my parents, Gene and Gloria Ackerley, and he has been Pima County Treasurer for a couple of months. Has it been a couple of months now?
It's been 2 months, a little over 2 months as Treasurer. Served 2 years prior to that as the Chief Deputy Treasurer.
Right, and then you do have some legislative experience. You were a representative up at the State House.
Yep, former state legislature, represented pretty much south of 22nd Street to Nogales, the then Legislative District 2.
Right. And you also have some national and statewide experience working with the teachers union and being a representative
there. I was a local officer and served on the board of directors and was a national delegate for many, many years. Yes.
I tell this story. I tell it every time you come on, I guess. But our governor, Katie Hobbs, who was a friend, she was in the legislature when you were in the legislature, and she was teasing me it's been a while ago now, it was actually when she was running for governor, and she pulled me aside at a hotel up in Phoenix and said, we just really think highly of Chris when we were in the legislature, and there were these 3,300 page bills that we needed to know what was in, and we'd go over to Chris's office and he would tell us what we were supposed to know.
I did make it a habit to make sure I knew what I was voting on when I was voting on stuff.
Right.
It was important.
Right.
In fact, I'm dealing with the consequences right now of some legislation that they didn't read before they voted on it and had some unintended consequences.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens, isn't it?
And
you get at the last day of the legislature, and they're trying to pass 38 bills. There was one guy up there, a state senator. I was watching the Senate thing, and he stood up and said, I have not seen this bill. I have not read this bill. I vote no, because I don't even know what's in it. And I thought, man, we're passing bills with people that haven't even read them yet. So it's very interesting. Well, you're running for the office.
I am running for the office.
And we're going to get you elected here. We're going to get you elected and have you serve a full 4-year term as Pima County Treasurer. So tell us a little bit about the lack of primary and that you're going
to. So I do not have a primary. Right. Beth approached me about 3 years ago, said, because this is a position that really requires experience in the office, mm-hmm. It is not a policy setting position. She approached me about 3 years ago and said, I want to retire. I want to retire soon, but I don't want to retire. Nobody in my office wants to run for the position. Would you consider coming on board? You can do the politics. You can do the math. I can teach you the accounting. And so I joined the office, learned a lot from her, and then 2 months ago took over the reins. But that was only an appointment and only through the election. So I am running for the position. Do not have a primary.
That's because there's no other Republican.
There's no other Republican who is running for the race. I am a Republican running in Pima County, though.
Right.
So no matter whether, you know, I think I'm the best qualified candidate for the job, it is still going to be an uphill battle.
Well, if we could take a leaf out of the playbook that Rex Scott, I happened to see Rex at a funeral of a mutual friend not too long ago, and I thanked him for his kind words. He spent about 7 minutes talking about his justification of why he was going to vote yes on appointing you on an interim basis as the Pima County Treasurer to take over for Beth, and he articulated some pretty powerful stuff.
I do appreciate Supervisor Scott's and Supervisor Lee's vote
right.
to appoint me to the position. Their willingness to put the interests of the county as a whole over the
right.
the partisan politics. In full disclosure, Rex Scott and I worked together.
Right.
I was math teacher at Ironwood Ridge while he was a vice principal there. So
right.
We have that one. That was 20 years ago. So
right.
we have known each other for a long time. And of course, right. I also appreciate Supervisor Christie, obviously, for nominating me for the position and his full support.
So you've got this election coming up. It's one of those things that I have a little bit. Not that I'm pointing the spotlight back at me, but when I ran for mayor 2 times, because I ran as an independent, I didn't have a primary, and people would stop me and say, how come you're not running for mayor? I've been running for mayor. I've been running for mayor for 2.5 years. I just don't have a primary, because independents don't have a primary. They go straight to the general election, and you're kind of in that boat.
I mean, my name will appear on the ballot, but
right.
I have to get one vote
right.
In order to win it. Actually, I believe I have to get 1,200 votes, but
yeah.
But you're not
having an active primary.
But yeah. I don't have the world plastered with signs at the moment, because I'm not in a primary, and with between the weather and the mischief, most of them would disappear
yeah.
by the time
right.
The general election comes down. There will be some up, so the race is really the general election. There are 2 candidates running in a Democratic primary to replace me. Neither of them have any direct experience with the office. One of them has no real financial experience. The other one did work in the assessor's office for many years and did work with county finance for a bit. However, it's 2 totally different worlds. I often make this analogy that, an electrician and a plumber are both involved in building a house. However, you do not want to hire the electrician to do your plumbing.
Right.
It's going to stink the place up really fast.
Right.
Both of them have made, as part of their platforms and running in a primary, very socially conscious statements about what they intend to do with the office. The problem is what we do in the office is pretty narrowly defined by statute.
Yeah, it's statutory.
And there are some issues with the things that they're proposing. Not that they're not good ideas, maybe, but it's not the purpose of the office, and it really you know, runs afoul of statute. So it does really take somebody. And to that respect, the treasurer's office is mentioned in, I believe, all but two of the titles in Arizona revised statute. Now, sometimes it's not significant, it's just a passing mention, but we have a part to play in almost every aspect of state and local government.
Right.
And it's important to know what all of those connections are, how they all fit together, and how they affect the office.
Right.
And that's not something, even if somebody was to come from the outside accounting world, it's not even something that you learn in that. You learn that over time with exposure to that.
Right.
Having served in the legislature, I had that experience. Having been involved in school funding issues throughout my entire career, right? And that being the vast majority of the money and probably the most complex funding system in the state. I have that experience, and then I also have the 2 years of experience of actually working in the treasurer's office, actually running the mechanics that make all of those transactions flow on a day-to-day basis.
So we're talking with Pima County Treasurer Chris Ackerley. Let's talk a little bit about money. In order for anyone to run a campaign, money is really important. And you know, because you don't have a primary, it's a little bit difficult to raise some money, and you know that the mojo hasn't kind of started for your general election yet, and you don't have your signs up all over the place. But it's critical that we get some money in for your campaign. So,
money is important. It is truly a key. So, as I said, a Republican running in Pima County, which is fairly skewed to the other side registration wise, I have to get the message out. That I am the one that has experience for the job, and that the job is uninteresting,
right,
essentially to the public.
Yeah,
it's
not sexy.
You don't want the treasurer to be making all sorts of news.
Right.
So I have to get that message out, and in the political noise that will happen about a national presidential race, currently in our environment, and where Arizona is such a key factor in deciding the presidency and the who controls the Congress, it's going to be tough, and it's going to require money. It's going to require to get the money. Require money to get the message out using advertising
What kind of money are you asking for right now? What are you trying to get from voters who want to see experience?
Well, unlike the national campaigns that raise millions and millions of dollars from all sorts of outside interests, and state elections, which have the option of participating in the clean election system where they can qualify for state money, no such thing exists at the county level. So every dollar, whether somebody's willing to donate $5 or they're willing to donate $6,500, which is the maximum, any dollar is greatly appreciated to help us get the message out.
Yeah. So if people listening that know you and know the importance of the Pima County Treasurer and know Chris Ackerley and know what he stands for and so forth, if we could encourage some donations here before the end of the month. There's a reporting period coming up.
Yeah, the second quarter report is due at the end of the month.
Right.
And chrisackerley.com. And there is a donate button there, and any dollar would be greatly appreciated.
And if you've already given, you can still give. You can give up to that $6,300 level. So if you already gave $20, give 20 more bucks this month.
Any dollar would be appreciated.
Yeah, yes. So we're all about shameless plugs, as Chris says, Chris DeSimone says at the Wake Up Tucson show. We're all about shameless plugs here. Chris, you are the best person for the job. You are obviously very skilled at the job, and Beth wouldn't have asked you to do this if it wasn't a meaningful thing. So let's see if we can get some people to donate. Go to chrisackerley.com.
Chrisackerley.com.
Or they can also give you a call, go to the website, give you a call, and talk to you about anything that they would have coming up. So we'll have you back a couple of times between now and the election as we move forward. And good luck to you. And we'll We'll have you back.
Thanks for having me on today.
Thanks, Chris Ackerley, right. Pima County Treasurer. Good morning and welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. We talk about on Fridays organizations and groups that have been successful. And when I was running for mayor of the city of Tucson a couple of times, a gentleman came up to me and started talking to me at an event. And since then, I have spent way too many breakfasts with him at 6 a.m. in the morning on the other side of the world. I live on the far east side, and he lives out by Old Tucson, and I've had to travel 20 miles in each direction to go have breakfast with him at the crack of dawn, sometimes 5 a.m. But fascinating story. Welcome to Jump in Tucson, Rudy Garcia.
Thank you, Doc. Dr. Ackerley, thank you for having me here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you, Rudy. You know, we've been talking over the last 5 or 6 years about politics in our nation and what's gone on. But let's talk a little bit first about Rudy Garcia and your little path that you had. You grew up in Cochise County down in Douglas, Arizona.
Yes, Doc. Doctor, I was raised in Douglas, Agua Prieta area, and I'm a product of that area right there. I went to school there, Laredo High, junior high, that is, and I went to work at Alfreda McNeil in the cotton fields and the onion fields and whatnot, and I said, you know, this is not for me. I don't want to be doing this for the rest of my life, so what I did is I enlisted in the Army, 17 years of age, and I proudly served my country.
Yeah.
But I,
You're supposed to be 18, you know that, don't you? So.
What's that?
You were supposed to be 18, not 17.
My mom had to sign for me.
I gotcha, yeah.
She didn't want to sign, and I should have listened to her. I should have stayed in school.
Right.
But let me tell you that that was the biggest mistake of my life, you know. Now I know what they use us for, and
yeah.
I'd rather not go into that any longer anymore.
Yeah.
At any rate.
So you moved out. You moved out to
California.
Came up to Tucson. Then you went out to California, and you became active out there. You worked for a company called Bethlehem Steel, right?
I worked for Bethlehem Steel for almost 20 years until our plant, the backbone of America, was given away to China by Mr. Nixon. Richard Milhouse Nixon gave the steel industry to China.
When you say gave, he didn't open up the gates and turn it off. There was an agreement, and so a lot of the jobs went to China, and so that was part of the detente that was happening at the time, and opened up those floodgates, and so Bethlehem Steel kind of gave up its reign as the powerhouse and the world in terms of steel, and those jobs all went to China.
It was first U.S. Steel, number one in the country,
right.
And Bethlehem was number two, Republic was number three, so forth and so on.
Yeah.
But when I say he gave them the steel industry, he gave it to them because he even went over there and signed the papers to give him the...
Right. You had a great transition, though. You got to go to work at KFC. You got to go work at a local... a franchisee making chickens. You were looking around for a job, and you went and became a manager at Kentucky Fried Chicken. How? What a great story that is, that you were actually...
Can you imagine, Doc? I was making between $15 and $18 an hour working for Bethlehem Steel.
40 years ago,
And I wound up working for $1.35 at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
kind of a shock. Then you took a little detour. You kind of became active in politics, and, you know, the story as we tell it, you know, I played sports, played football, and as I tell my kids, every time I tell the story, I'm stronger, faster, quicker, better, and scored more than anybody else in the world. So when we tell these stories, sometimes we embellish them a little bit. But you have a unique status in that you were a city councilman, then became you actually kind of got fed up with the what was happening in Bell Gardens, California.
Yes.
And you created a recall effort.
I did a recall of the entire city council, Doctor.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty tough to do.
It is. You have to go from door to door, talking to people,
Get a million signatures, whatever the number was, a lot of signatures. Yeah.
We had to collect a lot of signatures, but I was able to do it, and that's history.
Yeah.
But just between that and I started up an organization called the Willie C. Velasquez Center.
Right.
And in that organization, I processed over 100,000 people for citizenship.
And they came to the America, and they stood in line like they were supposed to. They
exactly.
went through the process like any immigrant would do. They stood in line. They went through all the classes. They fulfilled the requirements of becoming a citizen, and they signed off, and they got to become a U.S. citizen, and they
yes.
got the right to vote.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's an important distinction that you processed. You didn't process 100,000 people that just came across the border and boom, they're automatic citizens. They went through the process. You had them go through that whole
yes.
entire process. That's 100,000 people who came through legally.
Legally. And that's the word, legally, doctor.
And,
they came in and... at first, they were supposed to get 1,000 hours of education, right?
Right.
English. And then Congress says, no, that's way too much. So they cut it down to 500 hours of education.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, no, that's still too much. It's going to cost us too much. They cut it down to 40 hours of education. So I got involved with the LA Unified School District, and they loan me schools throughout Southern California, Southern Los Angeles.
Right.
And I hired teachers from the same school district, and we processed 100,000 people.
Yeah. When I was running for mayor, you had breakfast with me, and you told me that you were a mayor. So after you ended up recalling that city council, they looked around and said, who's the best candidate? And all of a sudden, Rudy Garcia becomes the mayor of Bell Gardens, California. You were telling me an interesting story yesterday about out behind the city hall.
City hall? Oh, yeah.
There is a water well.
Oh, yeah.
And when you were the mayor, tell a story about you being the mayor and you creating the water well behind the city.
When I first went in, people started coming to me and said, Mr. Garcia, the water bills are too high. We can't afford to pay the water. Wah, wah, wah. And I kept hearing this over and over. I didn't know that there was three water companies in Bell Gardens. Three right. water companies, and they had divided the city for each section. And they were collecting water. They weren't the same prices. They were different prices throughout the city. At any rate, that's the previous city council had done that. So I asked my finance manager, Mr. Anil Gandhi, I said, what can we do? He says, can you count to three? I says, yes. And you know what that means, if yeah. I could count on three other votes. He says, let's get some grants and let's buy off those
water companies.
Water companies, and that's what we did. We bought those things, and we set up a water
municipal-owned water
right
resource.
Behind City Hall.
Right
behind City Hall. And people in the state were not too happy
they
behind
kinda,
that.
Kind of rattled the state legislature. They made a law. It's called the Rudy Garcia Law.
No, it wasn't the Rudy Garcia Law, but the Metropolitan, the Los Angeles Metropolitan Water Company.
They did not want the city of Bell Gardens to be in the water business.
And Lord and behold, they set up a moratorium. No city in Los Angeles County can start up a water well.
Right.
They can't.
But you got yours done, and Bell Gardens still has it. So
we still have it there.
Yeah, that's
yes.
great. That's great. And so you became the mayor of Bell Gardens. You did that. You worked. You've told me some great stories about that, about your time as mayor, and that whole experience of being a young guy trying to feed a family and do your thing, but also be involved in politics. It was a pretty interesting time in your life, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, Doc. But prior to all of this, I worked on my own personal opinion that
right.
the only president America has ever had is JFK.
Yeah.
JFK, because he was actually trying to do something for America.
Yeah.
And that's why they stopped him. But I've been involved.
That was in 1960. You were working on that campaign.
Yes.
And when RFK Jr. came to
came, you went down and saw RFK Jr. and had a sign that said, "Hey, I worked for your uncle's campaign in 1960.
Oh, did you see that, Doc?
Yeah, Southern California, and that was a nice gesture on his part to take that picture with you. So
he kind of blew his mind when he saw that sign.
Yeah.
He said, "You work for my uncle?" I says, "Yes, I did."
Yeah, 60 years ago, so that's pretty amazing. Well, when we come back after the break, Rudy, we'll talk a little bit about the organization that you've started here in Tucson and Southern Arizona to try and focus the government and government officials and even potential mayor candidates, and you've shared your vision with that. So when we come back after the break, we'll continue with Rudy Garcia, the founder of We the People. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM The Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. We're speaking with Rudy Garcia. You know, Rudy, you ran for office in Bell Gardens and you became the mayor of Bell Gardens. When you came back to Tucson, you actually dipped your toe in the pool and you actually ran in 2010 against as a Democrat running against the infamous John McCain. And you were simply using your thoughts and so forth, and you ran as a Democrat and you ran in the primary. You didn't make it past the primary, but that shows that you have a commitment to politics and that you're not afraid to jump in and get involved in your own way.
No, I'm not afraid of jumping in, and I'm not afraid of doing anything as long as done for the American people.
Right.
And so far over the years, I've seen that neither side is working for the American people.
Right.
They're working on their own little agenda, and that's how they got us. They have divided us. Uh-huh. This happened in 1864 when they divided us, and you know what happens when you divide. When you divide, you conquer.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons you kind of gravitated towards me, because of your interest in my independent candidacy and not running as a party affiliation. So from all that experience that you've had, and of course, one of the things that you've been advocating for recently, because of your own personal experience, you gave a good portion of your life to the Army and are a veteran, and thank you for your service to our country. And you have been an advocate both locally and nationally for the treatment that veterans get at the Veterans Administration, the Veterans Hospital, and you have your own personal medical issues that we won't talk about, but you have a voice, and you're not afraid to call the veterans hotline and talk to whoever and talk to political candidates about, we ask people to give of themselves, to sacrifice themselves for our country. We got to do a better job at the VA of taking
big
care of
time, them. Big time, big time. I believe that we have put our lives on the line for our country. I believe that our country should bend over backwards and do the very best. We should have nothing but the very best as far as medical is concerned at the VA.
Right.
No, we should have nothing but the best.
Through your efforts and the efforts of others, and obviously some reauthorization by the Congress and the presidents over the last few decades, it's gotten better at the VA hospital out here at in Tucson. It's if you've gone out there, that's the upgrades in terms of, you know, what it used to be and what it is now is much better. But there's a long way to go still, and that's one of the issues that you try to work on is veterans' benefits and how we should take care of those veterans.
Well, I believe that if all of us, all the veterans that have served our country, if we really love our country, we should join together and make sure that those things happen for the betterment of all the veterans,
right,
and all of Americans. We need things to change here in America. The direction that we're going right now is not a very good, healthy direction that we're headed in right now.
I think there's a good evidence of that in Arizona alone, and over the last 5 years, 8 years, there's been an influx in no party declared or independent voters who have declared themselves to be independents. And so for the first time in the history of the state, there's as many independents registered to vote as there are Republicans. There's about 33% of each, 34% for Democrats, 33% for Republicans, about 32% for independents, I think the current numbers are. So they're kind of, and that's the first time that independents have picked up that steam and have had that significant draw. And part of the reason for that is to echo what you've just said, is that many people are a little bit concerned about the divisiveness that's happening in our politics on a national level, even in our state level, and even some of it being echoed here in the municipalities like Pima County and Tucson. So you've created an organization called called We the People. Tell us a little bit about We the People.
Well, I started the organization We the People. And by the way, Doctor, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, tax-exempt organization here in Tucson now. And with this in mind that we have this organization, we want to create some real change. I mean, real change. Everybody promises there's change coming. No, but this is done between the right side and the left side. This time, what we're talking about is going straight down the middle, no parties, follow the Constitution. The Constitution does not call for a Republican Party nor a Democratic Party. It calls for We the People. That's why we started the organization here, and we intend to take it all the way to the top. What we want is to take the governance back from one politician and hand it over to the American people. The American people would have the say-so. We are the bosses, if you stop to think about it, because we're the ones that hire all these people to work for us. You know, politicians are hired people that we have hired. And
well, if you were going to be my boss, I'm glad I'm not the mayor of the city of Tucson. Then I was going to take orders from you. I, you know, you have talked to me over the last 5-6 years about 1,000 things, and I could probably name off 20 of the initiatives that you think that the everything from going back to Bethlehem Steel, all the jobs going to China, about restarting manufacturing back in the United States and focusing on tariffs and so forth, all the way to things as you know, some people might cringe when they hear some of the things you advocate, such as term limits, such as maybe term limits on the Supreme Court, people that are in the Supreme Court. And basically what you have espoused is, can we get back to where government is representative of the people, by the people, and for the people, and take it away from lifetime politicians who get in and then they spend the entire time just trying to get reelected, promising whatever they can promise so that they can get the votes to get reelected. And, you know, from an altruistic viewpoint, I think there's a lot of independent thinkers out there that think the same way, that the vitriol that's happening, we need to return back to what our forefathers, maybe the more simpler times.
We need to head back and follow our Constitution. That's what we need to do. Get together and work for the betterment of the people, not for a corporation or for one individual. We need to work for the American people. And that can be done so easily, but we need to sit down and let's talk. Let's get this thing going and fast, but because I don't see any future. I don't see a lot of future left in our country. I'm 88 years of age, and I don't see anything that has been coming up and better for the American people. As a matter of fact, we're going backwards.
Right.
You know,
and in some cases, it's good to go backwards because it's a more simpler time and representative government. We talked about how back in the 1700s, the 1800s, where a person would, you know, own a farm or whatever, own some manufacturing, and they would go into the United States Congress and serve a term, and they'd turn right around and go back to their farm and go back and do what they needed to do to keep their business alive. They weren't into politics for the rest of their lives and
yep.
have that be their vocation or their occupation.
It's easy money, Doctor.
Yeah.
Easy money. And I believe one thing, is and I believe it strongly, politicians are just like babies' diapers. They need to be changed often.
Right. Very good. Hey, we got just a minute left here. Tell us a little bit about, you had an event coming up on July 5th, correct?
Yes, on July 6th, we're having an event over at
Saturday, July 6th.
Yes, at Post 68, and the address is 4724 South 12th Street Avenue in Tucson.
Right.
At 9 a.m.
That's American Legion Post 68 over there on yeah.
And I need the support of everybody. I can't do it by myself. I need you, and you to step up forward. Quit complaining. Complaining will not help you at all. Let's get together and let's do something that's not going to require violence, marching, protesting, and none of the above. Let's do this the right way. Let's take our country back.
Very good. Thank you so much, Rudy Garcia, the founder of We the People. Thank you for being here today. Coming up on Monday, we have the Wonder Series. And then if you're interested in being interviewed on the Jump in Tucson, go to jumpintucson.com. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.